Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they've won. Game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor know-it-alls.
Yes, that's right. The Survivor Know-It-Alls are back after episode 2 of
Crazy
Survivor 42.
Big strategy.
Fishback is here.
Fishback,
how are you?
BSF. I'm well. I am very well. Yeah, nothing to say. How are you, Rob? Hey, I hear you're bidding $30,000 on this letter that the hero sent to Russell.
Well, I was either going to put all my money into the Survivor NFT or the letter, and let's see how it turns out.
Yeah, between those two, I think you're probably making the right choice.
Yes, I heard you were going to buy it. You were going to outbid me, and then you were going to give the letter back to JT.
Deserves to be home.
Yes, bring it home. Bring it home, Stephen. All right, here we are live after episode number 2 of Survivor 42, and a night where we really got to spend a lot of camp life, a lot of time with these characters that we are all loving so far. No Shipwheel Island, mercifully.
Mercifully, seriously.
Yeah. So it was a night, I feel like we really got to catch up. Not as much time with the Ika tribe. We put our time in there last week, but a lot of time with Taku.
Yeah, we know about Ika.
A lot of time with Vati. So feels like, really got to spend, some quality time with our new friends here in Survivor 42. So sad to see Mariah go.
Were you?
I mean, she seemed like a lovely person.
The stuff with her brother was very moving, and I do kind of wish she'd had more of an opportunity to, find that closure she was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
But as a character, in terms of the people left on the show, I mean, you gotta be very happy that Marianne stayed.
Well, it's kind of a raw deal for Mariah, who seems like a lovely person, who
truly
has the misfortune in the eyes of every viewer watching the show, who's like, oh, I hope Marianne isn't going home.
Yeah. I mean, some people might have been like, maybe they wanted Marianne to go. Maybe they agreed with Lindsay.
I mean,
Mariah.
Heartless
she
people.
Was a little lunch.
Yeah.
Heartless people. But I'm just saying there takes, all kinds of people come to Survivor to watch it, and some of them are heartless.
Sure. All right. Well, we'll talk about all that and much more here tonight on the Survivor Know-It-Alls, your first word in Survivor recaps here live after the episode. On Thursday, busy day, I will speak with Mariah on our Survivor exit interview. Been doing those on video this season, Stephen. A little bit of a new era of RHAP.
Wow, now you have to come face-to-face with the people.
Yeah, I did it last week with Zach. Got to see his beautiful, handsome face that Marianne fell in love with. That was very nice. Looking forward to chatting with Mariah tomorrow. Then, on our recap podcast, I will get to speak with our friend Dr. Evie Jagoda. Wow. They will join me for a recap of this episode. Looking forward to that. And then on the feedback show, Puya Zambakili will join me this weekend. And Brian Scally will be my guest on Survivor Academy, the new show just for patrons. But Stephen, let's dig in here. And of course, we'll take your questions here tonight. Robswebsite.com/S42questions. If you're in the chat, that link is floating around. Get those questions in later on the show. We will take them. Mariah versus Marianne. And I got to give the credit to Gordon Holmes last week said, it'll be interesting if this tribe ever goes to tribal council. It's between Marianne and Mariah. They could show M-A-R-Y on the parchment and you wouldn't know. Gordon Holmes called this shot.
Yeah.
Hmm. And there we were.
There we were.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's such an episode like this where it's so early in the season that we don't really know the players. We've only gotten like very brief glimpses of their relationships. We're only hearing like really top line assessments, even from the players themselves. You know, Jonathan kind of suggests, oh, I guess I sort of have a better vibe for Marianne. Some people are saying, you know, Mariah will be more trustworthy because Marianne is too all over the place. I think I would have kept Mariah, right? Like just yeah. not having a real sense of who feels what. And I kind of got the sense like maybe Jonathan was the one driving that and he felt closer to Marianne. I think I'm keeping Mariah in this spot.
Yeah, it is interesting. So this tribe is down to five already. So I'm not sure necessarily if challenge performance came into this at all. And I'm not sure if there is like a wide delta between the challenge ability of Marianne and Mariah. Mariah, they felt like, was going to be very loyal to the group. Mariah wasn't going anywhere. But for whatever reason, they felt like that Marianne was more of an asset in terms of her energy that she brought to the group. And then potentially in terms of what she is bringing socially in terms of like reaching out and doing outreach with the other groups. But is that a valuable skill set?
I actually think it is. You know, that's why it's such a tweener here. You know, you see Marianne actively chopping, you know, she's mm-hmm. hard at work. That really matters on Survivor. You know, someone, that person who's hustling, who's helping out around camp, who's got all that energy, who's chipping in when everyone else, you know, I think like Lindsay was saying how like, you know, tired she felt, you know, when you're feeling run down and exhausted to see someone else kind of like there doing the stuff, like there's a real reason to keep that person. That energy really, really matters. So, I mean, that's why it's such a tweener. Like if you truly feel like Mariah's the more loyal person, the person who's less likely to go off to the other tribes, you know, and the merits maybe yeah. keep that person, but it's really, it really, really is hard to vote out the person who's helping out a lot around camp, especially this early in the game.
Yeah, I think I would have to agree with you in terms of like, if you were trying to figure out like, what's the best move to keep this group together. I'm just wondering if Marianne is on like a JD type trajectory from last season where JD, another lovable person, high energy. They both end up with an extra vote where it's like, okay, well, you know, Marianne is a little, you know, out of control, but she's our person. But at right. what point where, you know, we saw where Lindsay found her like off, like looking for the idol to, without, you know, checking in with the group. Is there a point where, you know, Marianne is like, YOLO, you know, I'm going to go out there and just, you know, I got to like experience Survivor. At some point, does that become a liability where they say, all right, we can't do this anymore?
Yeah. I mean, that would be my read on things, you know, that person, I mean, who's going to be a more erratic, wild player, who's likelier to try to make another move, who, you know, you catch her looking in the woods, looking for an idol. And mm-hmm. like, she has some like cockamamie excuse for that. I mean, the sense I got was that Mariah was more of a, you know, was more reticent, right? She was more of a closed yeah. book. She had more trouble sharing with the, I mean, but again, it's like it's day five and she's sharing this story about how she lost her brother. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think I shared anything that personal, you know, in my two seasons of Survivor. You know,
you played in the old era. You didn't share until double digits. Yeah. But exactly. But it was interesting that, you know, this is the same tribe, you know, where Jackson shared his story on night one. And it's day five, and they're saying to Mariah, like, Mariah, what's your story? You would think that they have, like, all the time in the world to have bonded. It seemed like that Mariah, you know, had not been sharing as much. And maybe they're just, like, in a tribe with, you know, such big characters that we've seen, where maybe there wasn't a lot of room and opening for Mariah to share a lot.
Yeah. Or just maybe she just didn't have that natural connection, which is really just the heart of doing well, especially mm-hmm. in the early days of Survivor, just naturally connecting with someone, bonding with someone. You know, we saw her sitting with Lindsay a lot, but maybe just for whatever reason, there wasn't that sort of, you know, vibingness that I think is kind of at the heart of a lot of alliances. Mm-hmm.
But Marianne, what a night for her. I mean, she's such a breakout star. I mean, you could tell from the preseason that this was somebody that the show just absolutely adored. I mean, she gets the first confessional in the first episode. Jeff instantly goes to her. She was all over the promos for this season, and she just has like so many great moments in this one episode of Survivor.
Yeah, truly. It's true. I mean, the whole crush on Zach.
Who knew? Steven. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. First off, you know, what's with this Marianne stealing all my moves, going out to tribal council, telling Jeff about who you have a crush on from the other tribes?
Who's yours?
Well, I'm not going to spoil it for people who haven't seen my season, Steven. Yeah. That's my move. I invented that.
Well, maybe it's an homage. Maybe it's an homage. Yeah, an homage. Gabby had a great tweet at the time. Gabby Pescuzzi had a great tweet.
Yes, I know her.
Zach from Ika Tribe?
Mm-hmm.
Because it was, you know, it was a mirroring of Jeff's famous line, Candace from Railroad Tribe?
Yes. Well, Zach himself put his face on Billy Garcia's body and tweeted it out.
Well,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess, you know, some love stories are forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And they happen on Survivor. I mean, but this was wild. I couldn't believe it. I mean, there was such a blind side that here comes Marianne to talk about how that she had these longings for Zach.
And then she's saying, I've never had anyone reciprocate my affections. I feel like this is like a generational thing. I like, people are so open. My God, it's all hanging. And
which
I felt
part?
Like I was
there. Which like, part do you feel like?
I'm like, wow.
Yes. That she's talking about all about her dating history. In your day, people would never have done that.
I mean, I was weeping out there on the beach, but I certainly was not sharing my dating history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I might have been.
You know,
yeah.
It's interesting though. Yeah. Like, you know, like the first, like everyone's like, you know, even, you know, Omar's like sitting everyone down. Hey, here's my story. You know, it's so interesting. You know, I mean, you know, people, I mean, it's beautiful and it's a great part of the show, but it's just such a change from, I feel like, how things used to be. Well, here's my deal. Here's what makes me interesting, you know, or like, here's what makes me different from you guys. I mean, it's great. It's really, but it's just, it's like, it's new.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I guess, I heard a little bit of it when I was out there.
Day five?
Yeah, maybe.
Who said, like, Rudy was like, here's my story. And then you guys were listening to it for the rest of
all. Are we talking about, who's has a dating story or what?
I know. I mean, the dating stuff you do here. The dating stuff you do.
Okay. All right. So, Marianne, you think she's insulated here for a little bit? Can Taku avoid? Like, we thought Ika was going to be the disaster tribe. This was a very close challenge. They avoid tribal council, but do you think that Taku could be back to tribal council next time?
I mean, Taku's a pretty decent tribe. They seem to do pretty well. I mean, this was really a nail biter. I mean, they were well ahead until the puzzle.
Well, here was the problem that you had Jonathan on the puzzle where he had their team through. I mean, it was close, but he had his team through the obstacle course first. They got to the puzzle, but then you had Jonathan instructing on how to do the puzzle. Didn't go as great.
Yeah. it looked like a pretty easy puzzle. I mean, right? Like it looked like a pretty.
I mean, they can't make it that hard when you're blindfolded people doing it. But you know, I thought that Jonathan had a really great episode here. First off, you know, I think a lot of people were very hard on Jonathan in the preseason. Felt like, okay, this is going to be, you know, a big dumb idiot. But I thought he came across very, very well. He is bonded with Omar, where that they have this alliance where that they, I mean, they have taken JT and Steven to the extremes.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people have been comparing him to John Hennigan, the mayor of Slamtown, just for sort of being that archetype, but also being very emotionally aware and very open. Yeah, it was great. I love that. There, you know, whenever anyone acknowledges their weaknesses, you know, for him to say, you know, here, Omar's really strong where I'm not strong. You know, mm-hmm. It wasn't just like I'm the big strong guy behind Omar. You know, he also kind of recognized his own lacks. You know, that's always a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I really like that Omar called him a meat shield, and I'm his brain shield.
Brain shield.
Yes, yes. I thought Sophie called it was it a nerd shield?
Is that right?
Right? With Yule, right?
I mean, I know she's talking about dodgeball targets, so maybe it's, you know, dodgeball shield.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it really does seem as though it's Omar and Jonathan really at the center of everything at Taku, with also Jonathan also having another deal with Lindsay.
Yeah.
But Jonathan is the one who's positioned the best, it seems.
Yeah, and I really think that, like, I mean, the sense I got was that his, you know, he had the best relationship with Marianne and maybe called it for her, you know? I mean, it really...
They have the bond of Faith, and it's interesting that Faith came up a lot in this tribe because we had the scene of Omar talking about he's a Muslim out there and talked about his faith. Lindsay talked about how she is maybe not the best practicing a Jewish person in Survivor, but that is the case nonetheless. But that we have Jonathan, who is devout and a devout Christian, and then also we have that Marianne is a seminary student as well.
I don't think we've ever seen an alliance with all three of the Abrahamic religions represented. Mm-hmm. So this is a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's the Taku tribe, Stephen.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to highlight from Taku?
No, I mean, Marianne just like running off, making the mat for Omar to pray on was like beautiful, but also like she made a really big mat. Really. I mean, obviously it was fast in the episode, but even in Survivor time, that seemed pretty fast for all the work she did. And that's, I think, another reason why you have to keep Marianne is like, she's got that Energizer Bunny, you know, can do spirit, you know, the Energizer Bunny loved weaving mats. But no, I mean, the fact that she went off and like did that for him and like, you know, did it for anybody.
That's going. A lot.
She's like energy to burn.
Yeah.
And that's a really rare quality on Survivor.
Yeah. So Stephen, we got to see a little bit of the Vati tribe as Mike was on the hunt for an advantage this week and ends up finding the hidden immunity idol. The Beware advantage is back, baby.
Woo. What was the line, Rob?
The line was, I believe, soccer is so full of grace that it makes me cry.
Yeah, I think that's what it
there
was.
There is such grace in the game of soccer. It makes me cry. All right.
And this feels like a little bit of a step down from the butterflies and the broccoli.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, those like to say the butterfly line that Xander had to say at multiple tribal counts or at multiple challenges.
Yeah.
That felt like a heavier lift. Right. Do you think
can you try, Stephen? Okay. Let me see. Can you work this into some mat chat? All right. Fishback. How's it going over there?
You know, I mean, this challenge, I'm looking at this challenge and it looks like, you know, it kind of reminds me of soccer, which is a game that has, you know, such grace that it makes me cry. Or
that's,
you know,
pretty good. Like, that's pretty good. Yeah. I mean, you're at a challenge. You could sort of I mean, how many of these challenges are in any way like soccer?
You know, I was running up and down the beach the other day and I was just thinking soccer, you know,
mm-hmm.
Soccer.
Yeah. Maybe you know, this is the competition reminds me of when I used to play soccer and, you know, there's such grace in the game of soccer. You know, it makes me cry. And wow, Mike is a big softie.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. But what was so great about this was that Mike, what was so interesting about this was that Mike chose to share it.
I think it's that he lost the idol.
Oh my God. Can I tell you, when I had my steal a vote advantage and I buried it, I was so scared that I would lose it. I would like every
what
day
did
I would
you
go.
Do?
Well, so I had a spot for it, but I would every day go check on it. I was like, okay, it's there. Okay, it's there. I made it a super obvious spot, and then it would rain, and I'd be like, oh my God, it's going to get washed away in the rain. So I like moved it. Like I dug it lower, but then I was like, oh my God, it's so low. Is it going to like, I don't know. Is the earth going to move? Are we going to lose it? Mm-hmm. It's terrifying when you bury it away from camp. So to see someone living out my great fear, I felt a lot of empathy for poor Mike in that moment.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But Mike goes back first. We see him bring in Jenny, tells Jenny about it. And then he brings in Daniel and then for some reason, Daniel's like, wants to see it. Was that what was going on?
Well, I think Mike, I mean, it didn't even necessarily seem like Daniel was requiring proof. Mike was like, let me show it to you. And okay. Then was unable to find it.
Yeah. Okay. So, but the part that I think that you most want to talk about here is the thought between Daniel and Chanel. We saw this going back from last week. That's that the twosome here, one of the two pairs, the voting block here in this group. And they don't want Mike to have an idol.
Well, I think what they want more than anything is to end. I mean, because the correct assumption they're making is that if Mike has one, then there are people on the other tribes have one. And if we can invalidate Mike's idol, then we're taking three idols out of the game, which mm-hmm. is great. Like if you don't have an idol, the best solution is to like remove all the other idols, right? And so it's such smart strategy on Daniel's part to try to get Mike to, so he said, you know, we have two tactics to do this. Either we get Mike to not activate his, or we vote Mike out of the game. Now, the question with that is if they vote Mike out of the game, does like one of them get it or does it recirculate? So, a higher risk.
We know from last season where Brad got voted out with the Beware advantage that it did get placed back into circulation. Unless they can get Mike, Mike says, here, hold my Beware advantage. And then they vote him out. It would go and get re-hit in like we saw with Brad last season.
But I mean, that is the risk. And that's why I think you would not vote Mike out because, I mean, they have to be thinking, okay, if we vote him out, it may get placed back, which will have even less control.
Yeah.
Cause now we won't even know where ours is. Like anyone else could have the one on this beach. And then those other two are out there too. So, you know, the idea of convincing Mike to not activate it is great. Now I was tweeting about this with Heather Cannon and she was saying, you know, well,
2 weeks in a row with a name drop.
I mean, you know, she's a great Survivor tweeter.
Yeah.
She was saying that, I mean, she made the great point that like, if the other two sentences are said, they're going, you know, Mike is not going to like not say his, right? He's not going to like, so you can't like fully remove the possibility that all three idols are activated. Like that would be a pretty tough sell, not an impossible sell necessarily, mm-hmm. but a tough sell. So I don't know. What do you think about that? Do you think there's any world where we hear the other two phrases and then Mike is like, silent?
Well, I just, if let's, I guess role play this again, I'll be Mike. You can be Daniel. What can you say to me to not like, I'm excited. I found the idol. I'm telling everybody, what could you say to me to get me to not say the phrase when I'm hearing the other two phrases?
So, I think I would say, you know, we want to like remove these other two idols. It's more important that, you know, no idols are in play.
I know.
But it's like, you know, especially if you have the number, I mean, it's such a tough, I think that's the only sell is like, we don't want the other tribes to have idols.
I think you got to vote him out. Like I thought that was very interesting. And I mean that Mike is definitely somebody who's strong in the tribe. I think though that maybe you feel like, okay, well, Mike is expendable at this point. I guess, would you rather have Mike in the game or would you rather have potentially three idols in the game?
Wait, but what, if they vote him out, then it gets recirculated. Oh, you mean wait till they're at, like, what are you suggesting?
Well, I mean, now you have a, you know, 40% chance of being the people to re-find it. I mean, I think that that's probably a better chance if you really didn't want the idols to be in the game or if you want it for yourself, I think that maybe the move is going to be to vote out Mike.
I don't know. I think that's a higher risk move because, you know, you don't know if it's going to get rehidden or not. Mm-hmm. And so that lack of knowledge, you know, you're out there looking, maybe you're not the ones to find it. I don't know. I think like the fact that Mike is trusting Daniel with it, I would rather be the person who is being trusted with the information by someone I know than take the mm-hmm. risk that someone else might get it. You know, even this other person, you know, the even, you know, Chanel or Mike or Daniel themselves could get it and not tell the other one. And now Daniel's in the position of like, basically being the information broker. And then I don't know. I don't think I would take that risk of voting out Mike and then adding back in randomness.
I just don't know how you can like, maybe you can get him to not say it like at like don't do it this time, let's wait. But he's going to want to say it.
Yeah. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. It'll be That's interesting to watch. One. I thought this was a great episode for Daniel.
Yeah. Yeah. Another great episode. I mean, he's in a great spot on the tribe. Mm-hmm. People are coming to him, you know, for strategic counsel. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have to talk about that because that was really the big theme of the episode was people sharing way too much about their relative advantages and superpowers. And, you know, Drea did it on the other tribe. You know, she, you know, created this potential girls alliance with Tori and Swathi and then tells them, hey, I've got this extra vote. And immediately Swathi turns around and says, let's vote her out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we used to talk about, and maybe this is like really ancient history. We used to talk about how these advantages could be tools to build allies. But at this point, I do not think anyone on Survivor should ever tell anybody anything about any advantage unless it's absolutely dire. Now, Mike's point was, I don't have a vote anymore, so I need to get my people on my side. You don't need to tell people you don't have a vote unless there's like really a tie vote. You don't need to say.
Yeah. I don't think it needs to come up until you're going to tribal council. No need to tell anybody about that. Now, we know that Rox Roy was saying to Drea, okay, Tori is going to be the person who's next. And I think that Drea is feeling like, okay, well, we could do the Women's Alliance here. Why would I throw that away potentially? Because who knows what, you know, Rox Roy is going to want to do next. You know, we hold all the cards if we stick together with the women. But I thought that was very interesting. And going back to last week, we saw Rox Roy talk to Swathi before the vote. And yeah. It seems like that they may be tighter than Drea realizes that, you know, Swathi seems like that Rox Roy is, you know, a confidant of hers. And Drea and Rox Roy were talking about voting each other out based on different things that we saw in the episode. And then in Zach's exit interview, he said that Rox Roy was throwing around Drea's name. Mm-hmm.
So clearly, like, it's not that triple alliance is not as solid as it seemed.
No.
But it's interesting that, you know, I mean, Drea is wisely positioning herself to be in the center of two alliances. And then Swathi perhaps more wisely is not wanting Drea to do that.
Mm-hmm. But for Swathi, I feel like, was it a mistake to say that to Tori right off the bat? I mean, where she's good no matter what, she puts herself in a vulnerable position, I feel like, where Tori, who is somebody who, you know, we've seen her switch allegiances. Zach talked about how he didn't think that Tori was a trustworthy person. To say that to Tori to Tori at this particular point, is that a little too risky?
Yeah, but also no, you know, I mean, in some ways, I mean, you have to say those things, right, to people to like bring the plans into play. You know, if you see someone, maybe there's a better world where Swathi, you know, drops a hint that, oh, it's worrisome that Drea has mm-hmm. all these powers and this,
right. You know, they don't even know about the one that was from the immunity amulet or the amulet advantage. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, what do you think? How should Swathi have played that?
Again, I don't know, like, how long of a conversation this was, but I feel like that for Swathi, I feel like I think you'd really want to feel Tori out about how does she feel about the women's alliance. Because, you know, if Tori felt like particularly strong about, yeah, I definitely wanted to come out to Survivor and do a women's alliance, and now you're throwing it away so quickly, like, I feel like that there's a non-zero chance that Tori could go back to Drea and say, hey, look, I'm telling you, Swathi's not down with the Women's Alliance, but I am. Let's use your extra vote. I just think it was a mistake for Drea to talk about the extra vote, especially if she's talking about doing a Women's Alliance. They have three women.
Right. Exactly.
They didn't need four votes for that.
Right. It's not a big move. You don't need the like magic power here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that if I was Swathi, I think I would have slow played that a little bit more. But I mean, I guess let's see how it comes back to play out.
Yeah. I mean, obviously the best way, there's always a better way, you know, and you know, that's worried. Yeah, I mean, scary.
We're the survivor know-it-alls. Okay. That's what we always have the better way.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that. That's why they're here.
And in this case, I mean, maybe there's a slightly better way, but it was just interesting. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you agree now that you never want to share information about your advantage? I mean, unless there's a very specific practical use.
When have I been saying you do have to share information?
No, I'm not trying to like catch you in an inconsistency. Mm-hmm. I'm just, you know, trying to create, you know, broad sweeping statements.
I think you tell nobody anything ever.
Yeah.
And I think I'm not even sure you want all these advantages.
No. I don't know. I mean, you don't want them to be with other people. You know?
You'd rather have them, but I think that the only way you're safe is if nobody knows about what you have. And I think that Survivor is doing more and more things that the advantages are becoming more and more dangerous as time goes by. And this was something we talked about on the Survivor Academy this past week of like, you know, is it even, you know, that much of a, you know, a boon to your game to go looking for the idol, you know, that there's penalties associated with it. There's downside risk. And, you know, there's like all sorts of other ways where now other players are going to know you have the idol, too.
Well, now that you've seen this, you know, you've got to like you lose your vote or you have to like announce to three tribes that you have the idol. I mean, mm-hmm. they have to mix that up, right? Because it's too public in a way. But I mean, it is really a great evolution of the game. That now, you know, it seemed for a while that they were trending towards like too many, too powerful superpowers. Mm-hmm. And now that seems to be a lot of stuff, but none of it is necessary.
Yeah, it's like the dollar store. It's like, boy, there's a lot of stuff here, but it's all crap. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would like to talk about the shot in the dark, which for the second week in a row, Stephen.
Yeah, Shot in the Dark needs a big moment. Shot in the Dark really needs like some like hero moment.
The shot in the dark. Yeah, somebody needs to pull off a shot in the dark for sure. I had, you mentioned Gabby Pescuzzi on the recap podcast with Gabby this past week that I said that, do you think that this could be the season where we see the shot in the dark played a lot? Zach played it in the first week. Maybe is there something, especially, and you know, obviously there was no way that Taku could have even known that he did play the shot in the dark, but I don't know. Maybe they sort of like described it better to the Survivor 42 cast than they did to the Survivor 41 cast and made it sound like a more interesting prospect, because it's wild that 2 weeks in a row it's been played. I had made a bet with Gabby about the over-under on the season was 2.5 shot in the darks being played.
Wow.
Feeling good.
Yeah. That's a really good point. Maybe it was described better to the players. And then, of course, once it starts getting played, you know, well, that's a question. Like, once it starts getting played, are people, typically you think people are going to be more inclined to play it because it's now normalized. If you think you're going home, you may as well play a shot in the dark. If it never pans out, maybe people will stop. You know, maybe, I mean, you know, if mm-hmm. nobody... I don't know, but if you really think you're going home, of course you're going to play it. I don't know. Do you think they should change the odds? I was texting with Colin Stone about this. Do you think they should? Yeah, I think he thinks that the odds should be slightly more. I don't want to take credit for an idea that's not mine.
Well, I had said this before that my brother had this idea of that, like, okay, he said the shot in the dark. He said, okay, Zach played it last week. Now it's down to 1 in 5. Okay, 1 in 5 on the shot in the dark. Oh, a little more appetizing. Okay. All right, now Mariah played it. It's down to 1 in 4. 1 in 4 shot in the dark. Anybody who's thinking about it tonight, maybe it might be...
Then if more than 4 people to do it, you know, they're going to have multiple people immune. I mean, that's why it has to be the number of
six. It can only be played 6 times in a season. And once it's played, like, it can happen 1 time. Or maybe then it gets back to 6 once somebody hits it.
But what if, I'm saying, like, once it's like 1 in 2 or 1 in 1... Everyone's playing their shot in the dark.
Hey, first person to do it. And then you'll draw rocks for who gets it. But you don't get to vote. Yeah. Like, you still got to vote for somebody. Yeah. And you can only do it 1 time in the whole season.
Yeah. That's interesting. It's an interesting idea that, like, it becomes more desirable over time. I like that.
That would be like you go to a tribal council. It's like, hey, and the thing to remember is a 1-3 is on the shot in the dark tonight. Like, oh my God. I got to go for it. Like, I think that it gets more and more exciting.
That's a 33.33.
And then somebody hits it, it goes back to 1-6. Why not?
Yeah.
Now, did you notice something else different tonight with the shot in the dark?
Oh, yeah. We didn't see her play it, right?
Well, we didn't see Marianne play it. We didn't see Mariah play it. That was new. But also, for the first time, that Mariah says, okay, play the shot in the dark. She has to go give the scroll to Jeff, who's going to do the reveal.
Opening it herself?
Where we saw both Sydney and Zach, unveiled it themselves. You got to give that moment to Jeff.
Yeah. You think just because Jeff makes it much more theatrical and a bigger moment rather than
we don't know did something happen with Zach where he's like, like he didn't show it on camera and they're like, all right, Zach, we're going to need to get that again. They got to give it to Jeff. That's why he gets the big bucks.
To unroll the scroll.
To unroll the shot in the dark. Yeah. That's right. That's right. So we'll see what other, the game's evolving, Steven.
Yeah. Interesting. So what else? What were the other big thing? Blindfold challenge.
Did you ever do a blindfold challenge?
I did. I did two blindfold challenges and I don't like them.
I don't like him either.
The second one was
Dalton Ross said, I love him. Dalton Ross said, I love them more than my family.
Because he's a sadist. Mm-hmm. He's happy to see people get like unnecessary massive injuries.
You love AFV, you'll love blindfold challenges.
What's that?
America's Funniest Videos.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know there was an acronym.
Oh, you big. I think the show is called AFV.
Wow.
It's like the KFC.
Wow, who knew?
Mm-hmm.
I don't like seeing people get actually, oh, that's going to leave. Oh, he won't be walking well for the next 6 months. Like,
watch that balls, Roxroy. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's a funny moment, but also it's like an unnecessary like wounding of a human being.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you feel like that? Is it the tribe that is more cohesive is working? I mean, because Taku tribe seemed like that they were pretty good, well-functioning unit.
I can tell you right now. Well, first of all, the two big things are one, obviously having a great caller is so crucial.
Sure.
Someone with like, and it's obvious, it's not like a male female thing. So, I mean, typically you think like a guy would have a louder voice maybe, or a deeper voice, which would be easier to hear over a greater distance. But, that's certainly not the case. I think that, anyone can have like a extremely loud voice. We had Kimmy on my season. The other thing is there are some people who just have great spatial sense. Like I was with the Spencers and both of them, and especially Spencer Doom and Spencer Bledsoe were my two partners. Spencer Doom, like he saw the space and he like knew where to go. He didn't even need the caller. And I think like there are some people who just know, they see it. They're like, okay, I've got it in my head. That's not how my brain works. I see it and it's immediately gone. But there's some people who do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's just like having a magical spatial sense is the secret to those challenges.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, they're hitting for Dalton Ross. They must be hitting for some people. So, more blindfold challenge. I feel like episode 2 is the classic blindfold challenge spot on Survivor.
Yeah. It's a little goofy. You just had like the big crazy challenges in the previous episode. This is like a little bit, it's a little bit less physically intense. It's a little bit goofier. Mm-hmm. I like the blindfold puzzle. I mean, the greatest one was obviously in Survivor Samoa. That was fantastic. I mean, I didn't, go to completion, of course. Because Russ Swan, was the
kind of, yes, yes. Yeah. I mean, that was a table maze, I believe.
Yeah. But blindfolded, right? Wasn't there
people? Blindfolded, blindfolded table maze, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Discover why critics are calling Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes the best film of the franchise.
What a wonderful day!
It's a jaw-dropping spectacle that demands to be seen on the biggest screen possible.
We need to go.
Hang on. It is our time.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, now playing only in theaters. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Step into the world of power, loyalty,
and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Steven, are you ready for questions from the Survivor Know-It-Alls faithful?
Wow. Anything else? Any other big moments from the episode? I mean, you know, Romeo sad to see Zacho. High's vegetarianism. That was a interesting moment. I mean, that was a tough one. Like it was so interesting, right? To see people wrestle with moral dilemmas like that.
Yeah. I mean, did you have those types of conversations with Kimmy Kappenberg, when you were on Survivor?
Well, I think she just didn't eat meat, right? Cause she clearly ate, all of the seafood that we had. And I think she just didn't eat, you know, so it wasn't as big of a immediate problem. Yeah, we made fun of her a lot for her like big, you know, moments in Australia, but those were the big moments. I think we covered it pretty much.
That's what we do. Steven, let's take some questions from the Survivor Know-It-Alls listeners, okay? John, of course, the great John.
Oh, I haven't heard from John in a while.
Should Marianne have played her extra vote in case? And to John, I'd say, in case of what?
Yeah. It wasn't like a tweener. I mean, like, you know, what? Yeah, I don't know.
I didn't really get the sense that there was a Mariah and Marianne contingent. I think much like last week's vote, it was like, okay, everybody's either going to vote for Marianne or everybody's going to vote for Mariah.
But I mean, you know, you don't know that, right? When you're Marianne or Mariah, you don't know exactly where the votes are going. I can see the argument. I mean, just, you know, that you are potentially a target. You know, it's very rare that you know that you're up for elimination and you've got an extra vote right there. You know, it was right there. You just picked it up right down. Mm-hmm. Mariah. Put it right back in the urn. Just the convenience factor.
Well, I feel like
the answer is no.
That, I mean, we saw Lindsay walking with Mariah. Maybe you thought, okay, Mariah has Lindsay, but it's either the other two guys. If you don't have both of them, or you do it, I mean, if it's like, okay, well, I have. Do you have potentially Omar? I mean, so what is that? It gets to 3-3.
I mean, Jonathan looked into her eyes. She's like, look into my eyes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Was that her or was that Mariah? Or was that both of them?
I don't know. He was going back and forth with both of them. You know, there was a secret scene last week where that Jonathan had caught Jackson looking for the hidden immunity idol. And he brought that to Omar and Marianne. And they sort of keep it between us. So I think that Marianne was good with Jonathan and Omar. I think Lindsay might have been the question. Lindsay seemed a little annoyed with Marianne in the episode. But I think that with the two guys that were there still, I think she felt good with them.
I think so, too.
Okay. Steven, what does Emily have to say?
Emily wants to know, what pairs forming have the potential to be ride or dies? Can a ride or die really exist in this newer game?
Yeah,
well, that's a good question.
Well, I would have to say absolutely, because going off of, you know, Survivor 41, which is like right. the test case for what we have, we saw so many voting blocks where
Erica and Heather,
Danny and Deshaun, famously, you know, there was Ricard and Shan for a while, and then
that
it
was
sort
not
of
a, clearly not a rider.
Well, true, but then you know, Ricard and Xander were very close.
I don't know if I would call that a ride or die.
Shan and Liana.
You're saying that sometimes people were friends and voted together. I don't know if that's a ride or die.
I think that there were pairs all throughout the season. Evie and Tiffany.
Right. I mean, that's the ride or die, though, is a special bond.
Yes.
And that's, you know, we can't break this. We're going to the end.
See, I would know. I would not know. I've never had a ride or die.
I think Erica and Heather were as close to a ride or die as we could. I truly, like, almost as, you know, they were. I mean, we didn't see very much of them, but they were as close to a ride or die alliance as, you know, we've in recent seasons, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So do you want to like delineate like whether we will have more ride or dies than in this season? We've shot in the dark dies.
Who are the potential ride or dies here?
Well, we saw Jonathan with two potential ride or dies in Omar, but also with Lindsay.
It seems like more Omar, right? Like Jonathan and Omar seems to be a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, certainly more from Omar's side of things. I mean, we saw the whole Vati tribe is all pairs. I think that yeah. Daniel and Chanel seems like a good candidate Liga for Ride or Die.
Yeah. Hi and Lydia said that they were, you know, soulbound.
They're basically the same person. Yeah. So, and then over on Ika tribe, that's a mess. We don't know. We don't know
Romeo
what the ride
or dies
could be.
Not ride or dies.
No. No, hashtag skinny guys. Okay.
Yeah.
Ben from St. Louis wants to know, what do you think of Daniel's plan to cancel out all three of the idols by convincing Mike just not to say the phrase? I think it's pretty genius. Shows his current social capital with those relationships. Again, I think it is a great idea. But what is the plan?
I mean, I think, but also, too, as long as you can delay it, you know, the better. Like Xander goes out, you know, I think people get so excited about these things. They're like, oh, this is going to be so cool and crazy. And like, you go to the challenge and you say the phrase and nobody says a different phrase. And then you have to say the phrase at the next challenge. And you're just putting yourself in a more and more exposed position. And I think Daniel's strategy, even if it doesn't perfectly remove all three idols from play, at least like, you know, reining things in, waiting to see the lay of the land, you know, then you can see, oh, this person said their phrase. Then this person said their phrase. I know who has the other idols. Then, you know, then you said, Mike, like, do we want those two people to have idols? Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you do. Maybe there's something to be done there. But I think like being the one with the information before you make the decision is much better than rushing out onto the field and sort of like laying all the cards out there.
What I like that Daniel said was it's like, okay, I have all of the information about the idols, but I have none of the downside risk, right. Which is really, I think, from what we've seen in Survivor 41, 42, it's kind of the name of the game right now, where you want to know where everything is, where I feel like that knowledge is power. I felt like that there was no official title to season 41, but I feel like that could have been like a theme for the season. And I feel like that for Daniel, that's a very good omen for him to have that understanding about how this new game is being played so early on.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, just the idea of removing things from the game, you know, is
you love that.
So near and dear to my heart. It really is. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. What does Jacqueline have to say?
Jacqueline, why do you think this season is so Camp Life heavy? Not complaining. I love it. Just seems like a departure from the modern era formula.
Yeah, I think don't get used to it. I mean, it's not uncommon for Survivor to not have a reward challenge in the second episode, third episode, so that we can get to spend more time with the tribes, especially in a three tribe format. We didn't spend as much time with these two tribes last week. We spent so much time with the Ika tribe. I mean, I love that they didn't have Shipwheel Island here in the second episode. They did have it in the second episode last season. I believe that's when Evie and Deshaun ended up going to Shipwheel Island. So step in the right direction as far as I'm concerned.
That scene with Chanel and Jenny was nice. It was fine. It was good.
Yeah. About the crabs.
I thought the Chanel's line of, you know, I assume that there would be a provider type out here. Not now I'm stuck with that role was so good. Cause you know, you do go out thinking like, okay, they're going to have like some country guy and they'll make shelter and he'll find me food and I'll do, you know, whatever it is I have to do. And then to like not have that person on their tribe is very funny. I mean, that's really unfortunate.
Yeah. I mean, these were some, you know, big, you know, big, fat, juicy hermit crabs that were out there.
Yeah, those are
slow
big
too. I mean, it's like shooting fish in a barrel.
Yeah.
I mean, that's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Stephen. I think we have one more question. What about from Danny P?
Danny P wants to know, why do you think this cast has such a vastly different perspective on the advantages between the compliments on the beware idols and that the shot in the dark has been used at both tribal councils?
I guess so vastly different than the season 41 cast?
Well, certainly. I mean, we talked about the shot in the dark. And also, I mean, the beware advantage, though, I mean, Xander shared that with basically everybody, right? It seemed like his whole tribe pretty quickly knew all about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, not everybody. I mean, that was actually a big thing. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's fair. But I mean, it wasn't like he kept it to himself, right? It wasn't. I mean, so, I mean, I think, you know, some people.
Yeah. Well, you know, we saw in the pre-merge of Survivor 41, it was really just the Ricard and Shan tribe that went to tribal council so many times. And we saw that they, between Ricard and Shan, they had a real knack for blindsiding the people that were, you know, between, was it Sarah, Brad, JD, and Jeannie, blindside.
Yeah, yeah.
So these other groups do not seem to have the same skill level in terms of pulling off these blindsides. Voce, I don't think, knew that he was going home. So in this season, it seems like that, you know, one, they may have like really like explained the shot in the dark better to the players, maybe even in the pregame of sort of like, hey, just like here's some things that you need to know, whereas they might have just dropped it on them at that first challenge in Survivor 41. And two, we just have a group that is not necessarily as gifted at the blindsides.
Yeah. I mean, also, it's really early. You know, we've seen two tribes go to tribal council, you know. Not a lot has happened.
Not yet. But I think off.
Early days. Hard to be like gifted at blindsides.
And, yeah. You know, but I think five. The season is off to a great start. And I feel like that we have a ton of really fun characters here in the season. And I can't wait to see where they're going to go from here.
And great relationships. You know, it's really fun to see. You know, we can see a lot of different like fun interactions on all three tribes.
Okay. All right. Stephen, let me tell you a little bit more about what's coming up this week on Rob Has a Podcast. Okay, here's what I'll be doing this week. Got the exit interview with Mariah coming up on Thursday, plus our recap of the episode with Evie. You can, of course, send in questions for that or for our Survivor Feedback Show with Puya Zambakili. Go to robiswebsite.com/S42. Questions, of course, we love to hear from all the listeners and hear what you want to know about. And then over the weekend, patrons only, I'll be chatting with Brian Scally about all of the takeaways that we have learned this week on Survivor on the brand new Survivor Academy. Then over on the Rehap-Ups, we will have all of the Survivor coverage from our Survivor team over on the BNB. Jordan Kalish will be back to play some games with Mike and Liana. Of course, Why Blank Lost, coming off a very funny episode.
That's going to be a tough one. I don't know. You look at you, what did Mariah do wrong?
Well, that's why people go to David and Jessica podcast. To find out, why did Mariah lose? Find out on Why Blank Lost, coming off of an episode with Voce and Tiffany on Why Blank Lost. Shannon Gus is going to be back with Survivor Globals. Taryn has the Survivor Stock Watch. And check out the Purple Pants podcast for the Survivor News Edition as well. All when you subscribe to robiswebsite.com/Survivor Feed. And we do appreciate your feedback and your star ratings here at the start of the new season.
Pretty good.
Okay. Steven, while we were podcasting, we missed the premiere of Beyond the Edge.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that, Rob.
Yes.
That show looks terrible.
Oh, Steve, you're not an edger?
Even the preview they showed in the middle of Survivor, I was bored. I was like, how do you show me a 30-second preview of this show or a one-minute preview and not have it
well,
be
Steven, look, whether the show is good or the show is bad, there are two people that can make it fun, and that is going to be myself and Jenny Autumn. We've just come off of 10 weeks of talking about the return of Joe Millionaire. Wow. Joe Millionaire 3. The Joe Milley Gang assembles for Beyond the Edge, a new podcast coming to RHAP. Check that out. We will be recording that Thursday night. You could subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify at robinswebsite.com/BTE feed.
I think I can pretty much confirm that your podcast is going to be a lot better than the actual show.
Well, you know, many have said over the years, when it comes to RHAP, the worse the show, the better the podcast. Of course, also on tonight, The Masked Singer is back. Check out Pouya Zamakili and Liana Boris on their coverage of The Masked Singer.
Is that a neg of us?
What?
Of me?
Why?
The worse the show, the better the podcast. Therefore, the better the show, like Survivor, one of the great shows, the worse mm-hmm. the podcast.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a different kind of best.
Yeah.
More funny. We're serious.
I thought this was some lighthearted. Yeah. I laugh a lot.
Yes, we do. We do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't overthink it. You're doing great. Almost 10 years.
My God.
This fall will be 10 years.
Just let the milestone pass. Don't tell me.
No, we're going to mark it. We're going to do a lot this fall. Get ready for Survivor 43. Of course, over on Patreon, that's where you can get all of the benefits of becoming a Robin's Podcast patron. In addition to supporting everything we're doing here on Robin's Podcast, get access to our Patreon podcast feed, including the Survivor Academy. And then also, I'm still talking that through. And then also the patron 5 for 5 as well. Not to mention, we make it easy for you to watch Australian Survivor, Big Brother Canada, and of course, access to our patron Facebook and Discord communities. That's all at robinswebsite.com/patron. And of course, follow us on social media and be sure to subscribe to the podcast wherever fine podcasts are found. And hit that subscribe button if you're watching us on YouTube. It's free and you have unlimited subscribes as well. How about that?
Last thing before we go, fishy for Dan Strunk.
For Strunk, yes.
I think so. I mean, the vote out seemed somewhat arbitrary. There was no great strategy. I thought Strunk, had a very strong strategic move moment.
Mm-hmm.
Fishy for Strunk.
Can't complain. Mariah was kind of an open and shut case, seemingly. Steven, what are we going to do? How are we going to commemorate when somebody hits the shot in the dark? Are we going to just go nuts? Like we should come on and like say, call our shot when
fun.
Yeah. What are we doing?
Wow. That's wild. That's mm-hmm. that's a fun. That's when we'll have to have like 6 different Survivor know-it-alls for the 6
know-it-alls
for the 1 in 6 chance. We'll have 6 people.
Yeah.
It'll be you, me, all the know-it-alls of the past.
What are
you
drink on the show? What will we do?
Yeah. Malcolm.
Okay.
All the famous know-it-alls.
All the fill-ins.
Past.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sophie.
Yes.
Is that 6? I think we've passed. No, that's 6. They're there.
All right. Tell them to all be on standby for the night the shot in the dark gets played. Steven, what's coming up for you?
Next week we're podcasting again.
Yeah. Next Wednesday.
Oh, big news. I'm driving a 4-hour drive with my daughter on Saturday at 5 a.m. So that's big for me.
Yes.
I'm very nervous.
Okay. Well, what's the occasion?
We have to move from one place to another. And that drive is going to be a 4-hour one. physically, we don't want
to
move.
Why do you have to leave at 5 a.m.? Do you have to be there at 9?
I just don't know. We've like talked this to death. Like, how do you move an infant from one place to another, like to minimize pain?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Is she good in the car?
No, she's a great baby. The car is not her strong suit. Okay.
All right. Well, we know you're strong.
That's really like a big, what time do we leave at night while she's sleeping? But then what if she doesn't sleep at the new place? Cause she's kind of, finicky. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Okay. You got this.
I mean, I think so, but you said, I'm really trying to think what in my life is worth talking about.
And, okay.
And apparently not even that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
What's all coming right up for you, Rob, other than those 30 podcasts you listened
to? Just all these podcasts coming up.
How's the house? Is it all are you done? You decorated?
Yeah, pretty good. I mean, really, the big story is the dog. And the dog is, that I've enjoyed the dog, but the dog is not necessarily the world's best listener yet. I say she's a baby, but I'm hearing a lot of, I'm tired of your dog. Like, how did this become my dog?
From Dominic?
No.
Yeah. Any good
he
wall
loves
hangings?
The dog. Yeah.
Yeah,
no, wall hangings?
I assumed it was not from...
I have some classic Survivor Know-It-Alls art just off behind me.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Here. Okay. You have a second here? I'll switch the camera angle. Let me see. Okay? Yeah.
Here. Good time. We have, you know...
You see some of this stuff?
Wow, yeah, that's nice. Yeah,
off,
that's nice.
Off behind me.
Wow.
So
this is quite
I've got all the hits back here.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Thank you all for joining us as I catch up with Steven. a lot of fun.
I don't think anyone's still listening.
Yeah, they're still here.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Steven, great job once again.
It was a pleasure.
Busy Thursday for Survivor. Make sure you're subscribed. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.